It is gone! A two-run home run for Rhys Hoskins. Game over! Franco wins it!
He got it! He pulled it right out of the bushes!
Swing and a miss! He got him! And Aaron Nola leads two.
Swing and a miss! Struck him out!
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome to an emergency edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 256. I'm John Stolness from SB Nation's Phillies blog, The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness, and we are giving you an extra bonus podcast because JT Realmuto, the best catcher in baseball, is a Philadelphia Philly. We're going to break down this trade from all angles. Joining me to do that in just a couple of minutes is Phillies beat writer Scott Lauber from Philly.com. He's going to go over the timeline on how this all went down because it happened fast, and so we'll give you all the details of how Matt Klentak got the Phillies back into the JT Realmuto mix. I'll have a Realmuto-related stat of the week, and we'll also talk about the dearly departed Sixto Sanchez and Jorge Alfaro and let you know the full details of the trade. All that's coming up in seconds right here on this emergency edition of Hittin' Season. First, if you are new to the podcast, if this is your first time listening to us, please subscribe to the Good Fight podcast feed on Apple Podcasts. That's where you will get this podcast, Hittin' Season, every time a new episode is uploaded. You'll also get continued success with Justin Clue and Liz Rocher and the award-winning The Dirty Inning with Justin Clue and Trevor Strunk. All those podcasts are part of the Good Fight podcast family, so I want to encourage you to subscribe and rate and review the Good Fight podcast, and you can comment about this show. And don't forget to be checking out thegoodfight.com. Again, that's PHIGHT.com for all of our analysis on the JT Realmuto trade and, of course, any other big shoes that may yet drop here in the offseason. Well, folks, the Phillies did it. I didn't think they were going to do it, because when we spoke on episode 255, and I was joined by The Good Fight's Paul Boyer, and we were talking about these JT Realmuto rumors, I did not think that the Phillies would include Sixto Sanchez in any deal for JT Realmuto. And I said as much on Twitter, and I've been getting hammered on Twitter today, and deservedly so. When you write on Twitter something along the lines of, book it, there is no way the Phillies will include Sixto Sanchez in a deal for JT Realmuto, and it comes out and turns out to be true, you look like an idiot. But I'm not going to delete a tweet. I'm not that guy. I'll own it. I'll take it. Give me all your crap. That's fine. The Phillies did include Sixto Sanchez in a deal for JT Realmuto. In fact, the Phillies are sending Sixto, Jorge Alfaro, and a lower-level prospect named Will Stewart, a left-handed pitcher not considered among their top prospects, according to most prospect watchers. The Phillies are also giving the Marlins international bonus pool money in exchange for, like I mentioned at the top of the podcast, the very best catcher in Major League Baseball right now. And we're going to get into the guys that the Phillies lost in just a second, because obviously trading away Sixto Sanchez is a bitter disappointment. I mean, I think we all were interested in seeing what Sixto Sanchez could become in the Phillies organization. I think let's get that out of the way first. Let's get the negative stuff out of the way first. And let's talk about Sixto Sanchez first before we jump into JT Realmuto. This is a steep price to pay for an upgrade at the catcher position. No doubt about it. I did not want the Phillies to give up Sixto Sanchez in a Realmuto trade, as you heard me discuss on 255, because I wasn't sure that the upgrade from Alfaro to Realmuto was worth it. Now, going from a guy, I mean, because I like Alfaro's potential, and I know that Realmuto is the best catcher in baseball, but was that worth giving up a top 20 prospect in the game? Sixto Sanchez was the team's top prospect for a reason. A 20-year-old hurler who throws in the triple digits, has some of the nastiest secondary pitches in the minors. Those guys don't grow on trees. He is probably the team's best overall pitching prospect ever. The Phillies have never had a pitching prospect like this in their minor league system ever, and yes, that includes Cole Hamels. No Phillies prospect has ever had this kind of stuff at this age that Sixto Sanchez does. And Sanchez enters the 2019 season, ranked number 13 overall by Baseball America, number 23 by Baseball Prospectus, and number 27 by MLB Pipeline. This is obviously a stud prospect. But Matt Breen reported that Sanchez had fallen out of favor with the front office, but not for his recent injury history, but because of his conditioning, which is something that I have been told has gone around as a rumbling in recent months. Obviously, the team is taking a huge risk, trading a pitcher of Sixto's potential to a division rival for 2 years of JT Realmuto. Because this deal, you've often heard Sixto Sanchez referred to as Little Pedro Martinez or Pedro Martinez 2.0. That is his ceiling. His ceiling is Pedro Martinez. He could be that good. And if this doesn't work out, this could go down looking as bad as when the Dodgers sent Pedro Martinez to the Expos. You bet that they want that deal back. But as I have seen from many people online, prospects are simply that, prospects, especially pitching prospects. They are not dependable. They're not reliable. And we have seen Sixto Sanchez has an injury history. He has never pitched more than 100 innings in any minor league season. He was probably not going to pitch much more than that this year in 2019 because the Phillies are going to take it slow with the 20-year-old, or they were going to take it slow with the 20-year-old. And so the thinking here is more than likely that if Sixto Sanchez were to suffer another health setback, well, then you would never be able to get any kind of real value for him if you had intentions of trading him at some point. And obviously, you develop a prospect like Sixto Sanchez in the hopes that he'll one day pitch for you and be your ace, because again, that was his ceiling. But at the end of the day, the Phillies, it seems to me, were scared off a little bit by his injury history. And I am not one of those people who was averse to trading Sixto Sanchez. As you saw me write about, I have a piece at The Good Fight right now up on the website about it. I talked about it on the podcast. I'm not against dealing Sixto Sanchez. I just wanted to make sure that it was for the right piece, that it was for the right upgrade. And I was not sure that Realmuto was enough of an upgrade over Alfaro to warrant dealing away the one blue chip prospect that you absolutely have. And that was my objection to including Sixto Sanchez. I still probably would not have included Sixto Sanchez in a deal, which means I probably would not have traded for JT Realmuto. And you could say that the Phillies could have gone out and signed Yasmani Grandal, or they could have signed Wilson Ramos if they really wanted to upgrade the catcher position offensively. Wilson Ramos, when healthy, was about as productive as JT Realmuto last year. But again, being healthy is a big part of it. You got to be able to stay on the field. And Ramos, as we saw in his brief time with the Phillies, couldn't do that last year. But those guys would have just cost you money and not Sixto Sanchez. Here, you're dealing Sixto for a player. Now, this is the best catcher in baseball. There's no doubt about it. And the Phillies are giving up Alfaro, one of the major linchpins of the Cole Hamels deal that came during Ruben Amaro's tenure. He's shown a ton of promise with the Phillies. I think he has the potential to be a very good catcher. I wrote this week also that I think Alfaro, if he can cut his strikeout rate down and get better at blocking balls in the dirt, could be a top 10 catcher in baseball as soon as this year. But there are a lot of tools that need to come into place in order for that to happen. And it's risky. And with Realmuto, you know what you have. You know you have a top-flight catcher, the best catcher in baseball just entering his prime. So let's kind of move away from the negative parts of this trade, because we're all going to miss talking about Sixto Sanchez, and it's definitely a bummer that we're not going to see him in a Phillies uniform. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed we're not going to see Sixto Sanchez, but I am growing more excited about the possibility of thinking about JT Realmuto now. And, you know, anytime you deal a prospect for an established major league player, there's a risk that you run. But as we have seen in recent years with the Phillies, most of the time when they have done this, they have not missed that prospect. Now, I don't think this is necessarily going to be the case. I think Sixto Sanchez is going to be a good pitcher. He might be a great pitcher. I'm rooting for him to be a great pitcher. I don't want him to fall into the abyss in order for this trade to look better for the Phillies' sake. I want Sixto Sanchez to do well in Miami, and I get the feeling he will. But as we're looking at this trade, let's start to look at the bright side here. And the Phillies are now employing the very best catcher in baseball today. Joel Sherman reported that the Phillies wanted to do the Realmuto deal without touching their four best position prospects, Alec Baum, Adam Haseley, Mickey Mammoniak, and Luis Garcia, and they managed to do that. Todd Zielecki reported that the Marlins were pushing for another top Phillies prospect to be included in this deal, which would have been a bridge too far for me. Absolutely, you're not including Alec Baum in this deal. You're not including Adam Haseley or Luis Garcia in this deal. Mickey Mammoniak, I could have lived with. But at the end of the day, they didn't have to do that. They just had to give up a left-handed pitcher in the low minors, Will Stewart, who the Marlins really like. Stewart had some very good games in the minor league system against some of the Marlins affiliates, and that no doubt colored the Marlins' perspective on Stewart. But Stewart is not a guy the Phillies are really going to miss all that much. When looking at projections, the new Pecota projections that are just out has Realmuto worth about 3.8 wins above replacement or 3.7 wins above replacement. They had Alfaro at a 1.1 win above replacement. So you're looking at about 2.5 wins. That's about a 2.5 win upgrade moving from Alfaro to Realmuto. But here's what you have to think about. And I think the Pecota projections on JT Realmuto are low. I don't agree with them. They have Realmuto. I keep wanting to call him TJ. JT Realmuto, they have him hitting 278, 339, 450 with only 18 home runs in that ballpark. I think he's a 25 homer guy, at least in Citizens Bank Park. You look, and we've talked about it, and you've seen me tweet about it, you've seen me write about it more than likely. Miami is one of the worst parks in the league for hitters, and there may be no hitter more ready to break out after getting out of Marlins Park than JT Realmuto. He had a 773 OPS at home last year and hit just 8 home runs. His road OPS was 870. It's about 100 points higher, and he hit 13 home runs away from home last year. The numbers are even more drastic when you look at his whole career. He has a career home OPS of 676 and a road OPS of 852. He had 277 with 30 doubles, 21 homers, 74 RBIs, and an 825 OPS for the Marlins last season. That was with that park dragging his numbers down. I would not be at all surprised to see a guy hit 280, 285 with 30 doubles, 35 doubles, 25 to 30 homers, and get close to 100 RBIs. I think you could see his OPS tick up near 875. I mean, this could be... Here's the bottom line. If JT Realmuto puts up the kind of offensive numbers that we think he could, he's an MVP candidate. He's already now the best position player on this team, but he's a potential MVP candidate, given what he can do offensively and defensively. He could be a six-win player if he continues to play at the defensive level that he has, if the Phillies can work with him to improve his pitch framing a little bit, and the offense blossoms even more, as I think it can, hitting in a hitter's park for the first time in his career. MLB.com's Mike Petriello notes that the 73-point difference between Realmuto's home and road marks, the OPS, that is a monstrous deal. There is no hitter in baseball that was hurt more by his home field than JT Realmuto. It's the largest home field disadvantage, according to Fangraph's Jeff Sullivan, since 2002 of any player with at least 1,000 plate appearances both at home and on the road. I also saw this. If you overlay his fly balls from last year and put them over Citizens Bank Park, he would have hit 16 home runs at home instead of 8, which would have given him 29 home runs on the season last year. So that's why I think you could be looking at a 25 to 30 homer guy. Not to get lost in Realmuto coming to Philadelphia, he's going to have a good offensive season. There's no doubt about it. But he's a great handler of pitchers. He handles a staff extremely well. So the question is, how much better can he make this starting rotation? What can he do to help Nick Pivetta? What can he do to help Jake Arrieta even? I think we know Aaron Nola is going to be fine, but what can he do to help Vince Velasquez? What can he do to help Zach Eflin? Heaven forbid the Phillies go out and get somebody else, like a Dallas Keuchel or something like that here in the next couple of weeks. He's going to help the starting rotation. He's going to help these pitchers get better because he's more mature behind the plate. He's been doing this for a long time. He's better at blocking balls in the dirt by far than Jorge Alfaro. Jeff Sullivan at Fangraphs also looked at some of the defensive numbers for catchers. He said since 2016, Realmuto is tied for sixth best in pitch framing over that time. But if you remove framing from the conversation, he's the best defensive catcher in baseball since 2016. From Sports Info Solutions, they say Realmuto blocked 90.5% of potential wild pitches last season, which is a little below the league average, but Alfaro blocked just 86.5%, which was worst in baseball. That is a huge difference, gang. Alfaro also gave up the most passed balls of any catcher in baseball last year. Realmuto also brings an aspect to his game that virtually no other catcher does. He's the fastest catcher around. He steals bases, hits inside the park home runs. He had an inside the parker at Citizens Bank Park a couple of years ago. He has also the fastest pop time to second base. He had a higher sprint speed than 25 center fielders and 54 left fielders last season. This is an athletic guy. Over the last 3 years, his weighted runs created of 137 on the road is better than that of Harper or Machado. Harper was 134, Machado 102. He is an MVP candidate going into the 2019 season. That's where we are right now with JT Realmuto. And so, obviously, we're going to talk to Scott Lauber in just a couple minutes about whether or not the Phillies are going to try and get an extension out of Realmuto. The deal would make a lot more sense if they're able to do that, if they're able to lock up a couple of his free agent years, because he is under team control for this year and next year. He'll earn about $9 million in arbitration probably next year, maybe a little bit more if he has the kind of season we think he could have, and then he's a free agent. But if the Phillies can sign him for an extra 2 or 3 years after that, or maybe take him through his age 33 season, 34 season, that would certainly make this deal all the more worthwhile. And I think you'll see the Phillies try to do that. He refused to engage the Marlins in extension talks, but we all know why he was doing that. It's because they were the Marlins and they were tearing things down. You would imagine that once he's in this city for a while, once he's part of this team, he's going to want to sign an extension with the Phillies, and the Phillies have that stupid money that they can use to sign him to an extension that'll be worth his while. And while it's not as much team control as Alfaro, Alfaro had much more team control than Realmuto. 2 years is still 2 years. He's not a free agent after this year. The Phillies have him for two seasons in which they are expected to be World Series contenders. And that's the big takeaway from all of this. The Phillies have gone out of their way to show you that they are in it to win it this year. That this is the kind of move that you make to get you to the World Series, to help get you there, to help get you into the Fall Classic conversation. And we have seen they had to keep pace in the National League East. This is not a division for the faint of heart. It is going to be a bloodbath in 2019 and for the next few years after that, because the Mets got better. The Braves got better. I don't know if the Braves got better. The Braves are good. The Nationals got better. And I don't think that this propels the Phillies to the top of the division. I think it still makes them probably the third best team behind the Nationals and Atlanta. I'd probably still have Atlanta over New York, although I have seen those teams flip-flopped and according to a lot of people's projections and just their opinions. I know some people, Corey Seidman, who we had on the podcast, thinks the Braves are going to take a step back. I'm not 100% convinced that's going to happen, but we'll just kind of have to wait and see. But nevertheless, the Phillies have given themselves an extra two or three wins here to get them ever closer to the Nationals and the Braves and the Mets, and that's going to be huge. Now, of course, there are logical ramifications for any future free agents the Phillies might be adding here. They are, of course, still heavy on Bryce Harper, and I really just don't think they're all that heavy on Manny Machado. Bob Nightingale was on ESPN's Baseball Tonight podcast that came out on Thursday, and he was of the opinion, and, you know, granted, Bob Nightingale, who knows exactly how much Bob knows, but he seems to not be hearing any chatter about the Phillies and Manny Machado anymore. It's all the White Sox. Seems like Machado and the White Sox is a match, and it seems like the Phillies are putting their eggs in the Bryce Harper basket, which would be fine by me. I still think Machado might be a better fit, but now with JT Realmuto in the lineup, you've got a big right-handed bat. Getting that left-handed slugger at Citizens Bank Park, I think probably now makes Harper a better fit in Philadelphia than Machado. And it seems that's the way that the team is leaning. That's the direction they're going. We know that Harper has an affinity for Realmuto. And this only makes the team look better in the eyes of Mitch Harper. They are more of a contender now than they were yesterday. That has to help. That has to help make them not even just a viable destination or a worthy destination, an enticing destination. The Phillies made themselves out to be a more enticing destination right now. And so when you're thinking about the lineup with Bryce Harper in it, I mean, you get goosebumps. You get goosebumps thinking about a lineup with Bryce Harper. I mean, just think about this lineup. You could have Andrew McCutchen leading off at the top of the lineup. And before you joke about that, he had an over a 400 on-base percentage in the leadoff spot last year. But whether you choose to put Cesar Hernandez there or Andrew McCutchen, I'm putting McCutchen at the top of the lineup. You can hit Gene Segura, number two. You're hitting Bryce Harper, number three. You're hitting Rhys Hoskins, four. You've got JT Realmuto at five. You're hitting probably Odubel Herrera at six, Michael Franco at seven, if you still have Franco on your team, and Cesar Hernandez at eight. I mean, that is a heck of a good lineup. That might be the best lineup in the division right there. That's with Harper in the fold, and that's what's got everybody dreaming, man. That's what's got everybody dreaming. And because Realmuto's number is so cheap, they can still easily afford Harper and other stuff, too. They could still afford Harper and other stuff. That's what's so amazing about this trade. I really thought the Phillies were going to use the power of the purse. Money is their biggest advantage. Their unlimited pocketbook is their advantage over everybody else. And so far, two of their biggest moves have come via trade, giving away players. And in this case, their very best prospect. I figured the best way to lure all these people here was through money. But if you can trade for Realmuto and upgrade to having the best catcher in baseball, the Phillies have had among the worst catcher situations over the course of the last 2 years. You're looking at WAR. It's a huge upgrade. It's a huge upgrade if you're taking the last 2 years into consideration. And you now still have the opportunity, still have plenty of payroll space, even if you wanted to avoid the luxury tax of getting Harper and other stuff. Like Keuchel, like Kimbrel, whoever else might be out there. And so here's the deal, folks. This was a controversial trade. I think there's a lot of people that didn't like it. I think people will warm up to it. I'm warming up to it. I think Vegas is warming up to it. The Phillies currently share the National League's second best odds to win the World Series with the Cubs at plus 1200. That's according to DKS Sportsbook. Both teams trail only the Dodgers at plus 750. And after putting in Realmuto and taking out Alfaro, the Phillies jumped from 84 to 87 wins in the new Pecota projections, just behind 89 projected for the Mets and the Nationals. Gutting Harper would put the Phillies over the top in the NL East. But like I said, this division is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a bloodbath. It is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be fun. One thing that this team now is fun, and I don't believe that I would now call the offseason a failure if they don't get Harper or Machado. This is a good offseason, regardless of Harper or Machado. That's one of the other things this trade has done for me. I know there's many of you listening that won't agree. But when you look at the upgrades they've made, this is a big upgrade. This is a bigger upgrade, I think, than I gave it credit for over the last couple of days. This is a big upgrade at a very important position, an up-the-middle position in Major League Baseball. I think Realmuto is going to do wonders for this team. And it makes what had been a pretty good offseason a really good offseason. And so I still would be shocked if they don't get Harper. I would be floored. I think this move helps get them Harper. I think all signs are pointing to that. And I think it might even get Harper in here sooner when he sees that his buddy Realmuto's here. He sees what the Phillies are doing, what they're building towards. And I think this helps get Harper here faster. I would hope that it gets him here before spring training. That's got to be one of the goals here, is to get him in here before spring training starts. And if that happens, man, then you've got, then you're, you know what? You can't say that you're going to erect a statue for Matt Klentak and Danny McPhail and all those guys if they end up getting Harper and this whole offseason goes the way we were hoping it would go. But it certainly gives Matt Klentak, you certainly would have to give him an A-plus for this offseason if they're able to now hook up Harper and add him to the mix. It does make this offseason, a good one no matter what happens with Harper or Machado, in my opinion. And I think that can't be denied. You've seen these moves alone make the Phillies an 87-win team. Jumping from 80 to 87 wins in an offseason, that's a good job. That's a good job, no matter how you slice it. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Phillies beat writer Scott Lauber from Philly.com. We'll get his take on the Real Muto deal and how this all went down, how it all happened so quickly. We're going to talk to him coming up next right here on Hittin' Season. And joining me to help break down this trade even more is Phillies beat writer for Philly.com, Scott Lauber. You can follow Scott on Twitter, at Scott Lauber. Scott, thanks so much for coming back on Hittin' Season. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, and quite a busy day we've had. This Real Muto thing really kind of popped up out of nowhere. It didn't seem like the Phillies were going to be players for him after showing some initial interest in the beginning of the offseason, but then starting on Tuesday, this developed really quickly. First things first, let's talk about what the Phillies are getting. They're getting a terrific catcher in JT Real Muto, and I know Matt Klentak talked to you guys earlier on Thursday, just after the trade went down. What did Klentak have to say about this move?
Yeah, it did come together fairly quickly. They did a lot of work on Real Muto early in the offseason, as you mentioned. And at that point, you know, the Marlins were kind of shooting the moon, looking for, I think, multiples of top prospects. And the Phillies were not alone. I mean, the New York Mets were pretty aggressive in their pursuit of Real Muto and were told, you know, that it would involve some combination of Conforto and Nimmo and Ahmed Rosario. And I think at one point, all three of them had to be in the deal. And so
Wow. The
Phillies, like a lot of teams, sort of said, well, we're not doing that. And Matt Klentak said he sent kind of an innocent text message to his counterpart, Michael Hill, on Sunday night, kind of just sort of circling back and saying, hey, where do things stand on Real Muto? And it gained some traction in a very short period of time, and they were able to work out a deal. And, I think that's sort of the, you know, we've talked so much this offseason and we focused so much on the free agents, specifically Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, and how waiting might actually play in the favor of the teams, as it did last year for the Red Sox with J.D. Martinez, and as it did to some degree for the Phillies with Jake Arrieta last year, waiting until March. Well, waiting also can maybe benefit a team when it comes to trade talks as well, because Real Muto made it pretty clear he did not want to go back to Miami this year. Here we are, days away from pitchers and catchers, and I think the Marlins kind of had a realization that we really can't bring this guy into camp, especially if we still have intentions of trading him. It's going to be a pretty awkward situation. So I think that, believe it or not, their price came down a little bit, and I'm not underestimating the price the Phillies paid, because they paid a pretty hefty price, but I think it was less than it was back in November, and the Phillies saw an opening and an opportunity to go get the guy they believe is the best catcher in baseball, and they were able to make a deal happen here in the last couple of days.
And I guess this shouldn't be too surprising, because we saw the Phillies upgrade at the catcher position at the trade deadline last year when they went out and got Wilson Ramos, and obviously they liked Jorge Alfaro, but they clearly felt that an upgrade was possible here. And like you said, Real Muto is widely regarded as the best catcher in the game. I went over some of the numbers that he's put up over these last couple of years, but we focus a lot on the offense, and looking at his bat, we see the numbers that he has put up in recent seasons, but you look at the extreme road-home splits that he features, and you look at some of the ballpark factors when you're talking about Marlins Park and how it's one of the worst home run and offensive parks in baseball, and it's not because the Marlins are bad. The park factors take everything into account. There's reason to believe that Real Muto's offensive numbers could be even better moving into Citizens Bank Park here starting in 2019.
Yeah, the Phillies certainly think so. And it's hard when you look at his home road splits, it's hard to think otherwise, that moving to a better ballpark for hitters wouldn't help this guy, because he put up pretty good numbers last year, 21 home runs and I think an 825 or so OPS, mm-hmm. Playing half his games in a really, really big ballpark. Can you imagine if those games were all played in a place like Citizens Bank Park, what the numbers might be like? And so he's an offensive upgrade, period. And then he's an offensive upgrade when you put him in your ballpark, in your environment. You know, he's 28 years old, club control for two more years at a very, very reasonable salary, $5.9 million this year. Next year it'll go up a little bit in arbitration. And I think you're also going to see the Phillies explore the idea of an extension with him. Mm. They did not ask for a window. A lot of times when a player like Real Muto, who has 2 years of club control, gets traded, the team that acquires him oftentimes asks for a window to negotiate an extension. Often it's a 72-hour window to negotiate an extension, and if they can get the extension done, they're more interested in making the trade. The Phillies didn't pursue that. You know, Matt Klentak said, I'd like to date someone before I marry them, and there's a lot of truth to that. Now, that's not to say that they have any doubt that Real Muto is an excellent player. They wouldn't be trading for him otherwise, and a guy who could really help them, but you know, you want to make sure that he's a fit in your city and he's a fit in your clubhouse and all of those things. I think they're going to find out fairly early on that he is those things, as they suspect he is, and I think they'll want to talk about locking him up for longer. Because at age 28, entering, I think, his age 28 season, you know, he's somebody who really ought to be productive for more than just the 2 years of club control. And if you have him and he becomes kind of your catcher for the next however many years, it's much easier to swallow trading Sixto Sanchez and even Jorge Alfaro in a move for this guy if you know it's going to be for more than 2 years. So I think it's something that they'll explore.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make too. We look at the deal here and we look at the fact that the Phillies had Alfaro for more years of team control and Real Muto for 2 years. Sixto Sanchez is certainly a steep price to pay for a guy for 2 years, but if they do offer him if they do agree to an extension, you basically get Real Muto for his entire prime. But even as it is, 2 years isn't nothing. You know, I had said at the beginning of the podcast, I thought Sixto Sanchez was a little too rich for my blood, but the fact that the Phillies went ahead and did it, you know, now you're getting a guy for two full years where the Phillies really clearly feel that they are a division contender, if not they're trying their best to be a World Series contender right now with this move for Real Muto. That's what this deal tells me, is that they see an open window and they think that adding this guy for the next 2 years makes them a World Series contender right now, and giving up Sixto Sanchez is worth it to open that door right now.
Yeah, that was my initial reaction too, and it's what I wrote right after the deal was made in a story that we posted on Philly.com. That was sort of the signal that this trade sent to me, more so than any of the other moves they've made this offseason. I mean, Gene Segura, nice player. You know, Andrew mm-hmm. McCutchen, fine. David Robertson, extremely consistent reliever. But this trade to me was the first time in this offseason that I sort of sat back and went, whoa, they're going for it, and they're going for it in 2019. Because you don't trade a 20-year-old arm like Sixto Sanchez if you don't think that the player you're getting back is going to help you win right now. So this is no longer about incremental progress. This is no longer about going from, you know, 80 wins to 85 wins. And then next year, you know, in 2020, shooting for 90 wins and then, you know, continuing the rebuild. The rebuild for me is over now. I mean, they are in it to make the playoffs this year. That's what this trade signals to me. Bryce Harper or not, Manny Machado or not, you get Real Muto in exchange for Sixto Sanchez, and you're not messing around. So, you know, that's kind of what this deal signaled to me. And I know that there are going to be people out there in the kind of the prospect industrial, these prospect people who love their prospects and they don't want to trade a prospect, even though they've probably never seen him play. And they want to hold tight to these guys. I often feel that way, but you know, it's got to be exciting, I would imagine, to a fan base when you see your team make a trade like this and you haven't been to the playoffs in 7 years and they're telling you, we're going for it. We're going to try to make the playoffs right here, right now. No more messing around. And I think that that's what this deal said.
My reluctance to including Sixto Sanchez in this deal was as much holding out hope that, you know, the worry that you're trading, that this is a Pedro Martinez to the Expos type deal. You know, that's always a possibility. And, you know, no doubt that Sixto Sanchez is probably the best pitching prospect this organization has ever had. I mean, if you look at Cole Hamels, is more than likely the best homegrown pitcher this team has ever developed. And Sixto Sanchez is a better prospect than Hamels was, but he's still far away. And there are the injury concerns there, of course. My only thinking with the Sanchez deal, too, was that he's really the only blue chip prospect that you have. And my question was, is the upgrade from Alfaro to Real Muto worth using that chip here in this situation, and maybe not saving it for something else? But when you look at the landscape, there are no young starting pitchers that you could get right now. Mike Trout is probably not coming down the pike anytime soon, and it seems to me that the calculation that Matt Klentak and the Phillies have made here is that Sanchez will probably never have as high a trade value as he does right now, because there are concerns about injuries with him, and that Real Muto is enough of an upgrade for them to include him here. And I guess I'm having to trust that they know more about Sixto Sanchez than anybody else does. Is that kind of your read on it as well?
It is. You know, if I've heard enough, or I've gotten enough kind of indication over the course of the last few months that, you know, as talented as he is and as much upside as he has, with Sixto Sanchez, the Phillies have I don't know if concern is too strong of a word, but they have some questions about his conditioning or his makeup, for lack of a more descriptive or specific word. You've just heard enough about, and it's not so much tied to the fact that he was injured last year. I think they feel like he's probably over the injuries, and all we hear is that he's ready for spring training and whatnot. But, you know, you wonder. I mean, a few weeks ago they had their rookie development camp, and I think conspicuous in his absence was Sixto Sanchez. Mm. You know, all the other ones, you know, who we talk about all the time in the farm system were there: Adam Haseley, Mickey Moniak, Adonis Medina, who I would submit they seem as high on, or close to as high on, as they are on Sixto.
Was that on Sixto's part not to be there, or how was that decision made? Was he not a part of the group that was invited, or did he decide not to come?
I'm sure he would have come had he been invited.
Okay.
And why he wasn't part of that group, I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm speculating a bit.
Mm-hmm,
But I will say, in fairness, someone like Medina, who I'm sort of comparing Sixto to, is ahead a little bit in terms of status, right? So he had to be added to the 40-man roster this year. Sixto did not yet.
Right.
Maybe that had something to do with it. But, you know, look, you know, not every guy who was invited to that rookie development camp is a 40-man roster guy. Not every guy who was invited to that rookie development camp, you know, was a stone-cold lock to be invited to big league camp, in spring training. So there were guys who were there and who you could have sort of made a case that Sixto could have been there either with or instead of, and he wasn't. And I'm not saying that it was, you know, that they were trying to send a message to him, but they certainly might have been, you know, the fact that he wasn't brought in for that. And so all I'm saying is, you know, they know him, like you said, better than most of us know him. And, you know, I think felt like between Medina and their other pitching prospects that they've collected, who maybe don't have the upside that Sixto has, they feel like they have the inventory where they can, you know, trade Sixto. And in a deal like this, they weren't just going to trade him to trade him. So to trade him in a deal that was substantial. And, you know, you mentioned the name, you mentioned Mike Trout, right? I mean, I think that most people out there would say that they would trade Sixto Sanchez in a trade if it brought back Mike Trout. Well, guess what? The Angels are not trading Mike Trout. Not this winter.
Right.
Maybe not next winter. And, you know, if you stand around, as we've talked about on your show before, mm-hmm. and you wait for Mike Trout, you might never get him.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Again, it's a team that wants to win. And that's why I say, you know, this trade sort of, you know, the interpretation that I have of this trade is the Phillies aren't messing around on 2019. They want to win right now. And, you know, let's also not underestimate the message that it sends to Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, right? If you're the Phillies, you're trying to sweeten the situation. You know, you're trying to make yourself look more desirable to those two guys as well. And we know Bryce Harper's been very complimentary in the past of JT Realmuto. I mean, he's played against him enough. He knows him enough. I think there was a game last year where Realmuto had the game-winning hit against the Nationals, and Harper very memorably said after the game, if we had that guy, we would have won the game.
Yeah.
He openly lobbied to get him at the trade deadline when the Nationals were looking for a catcher. So we know that he speaks very highly, Harper does, of Realmuto. Now you've traded your top prospect for JT Realmuto. If that's not a way of saying, hey, Bryce Harper, right over here in Philadelphia, we're trying to win right now, come join us, I don't know what is. So, you know, I do think there's some of that as well. And Matt Klentak made a comment about that today as well on the conference call, where he said, look, I think, you know, a lot of people speak very highly of JT Realmuto as a teammate. And for him, this was another move that they made that hopefully sends a message to everyone out there, including some free agents, that, you know, the Phillies are serious. So I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to that effect.
So last question for you, just without having all of the team's rosters right next to each other, without knowing who, you know, what all the moving pieces are done, the fact that the Phillies got Realmuto and the Braves and the Mets, who were said to be suitors for him, did not, considering all the moves that have been made, and without Harper or Machado as a part of the Phillies right now, let's just assume they don't get one of those guys, which again I think we both agree is kind of a remote possibility. We both believe that one of those guys is going to come here. But just with Realmuto and the other additions the Phillies have made, where do you have the Phillies now in the National League East?
Wow, it's a great question. You know, they're look, just speaking about the Phillies, they're certainly better, right? I mean,
right.
If someone were to tell you coming off of last year that you would take last year's team, you'd add Segura, Robertson, McCutchen, and Realmuto, you would say that they'd win more than 80 games. I don't know if it gets them 290, and I think it's going to take at least 90 in this really beefed up NL East to win the division. The Braves won it with 90 wins, I think it was, last year, and that was the fewest wins of any division winner in baseball. So I think it's going to take more than 90. I don't know if this quite gets them to 90. It might get them over 90, but they're better. So are the Mets. You know, so are the Braves are certainly not any worse than they were last year. And, you know, the Nationals, for losing, you know, to this point, losing the face of their franchise and arguably their best player, look awfully good given the moves that they've made around that and given the talent that they already had coming back. So, you know, and the Mets have done some things that are not necessarily, you know, they didn't all make sense to you at the time. And I don't know, for me, I look at their roster and it doesn't entirely make sense, but, you know, they're better as well than they were at the end of last year. So I don't know. I certainly think the Phillies haven't lost ground to those teams. They've probably made up a little ground on the Braves, on the Nats, you know. So it's hard to say. And again, I don't think the picture is complete yet. Not only do I think that Harper or Machado, one or the other, is probably going to wind up here, but who knows? I mean, maybe they pivot. I mean, I had someone tell me recently that they could pivot, especially if they get Harper or Machado, they could pivot to Craig Kimbrell as kind of the cherry on top.
Wow.
And then... I'm one who still believes, put me firmly down as believing, that they're a starting pitcher short.
Yeah.
I know how highly they think of Nick Pivetta and Zach Eflin and Vince Velasquez and Eichhoff's coming back, and all of that sounds great. But, I mean, you and I both know, we've watched enough baseball that, you know, development's not a linear thing.
Yeah.
So if one or two of those guys takes a step forward this year, you can bet a couple of them are going to take a step backward as well. So I still think that they're another pitcher short, and whether that's Dallas Keuchel, whether that's someone they pick up at the trade deadline, you know, who knows. But, you know, I definitely don't think they've lost any ground on those teams. I think they're very much in the mix to win the division, and I just go back to the fact that with this Realmuto trade, they're clearly pushing their cards closer to the center of the table, and they're saying rebuild over, window open, time to win right now. And I don't know how anyone, as much as you may love Sixto Sanchez, anyone who likes the Phillies wouldn't be excited about that.
Well, it's certainly an exciting day if you're a Phillies fan. Again, whether you like the trade or not, the Phillies, I do think, got better in 2019 and 2020. Guys, make sure you check out all of Scott's work at Philly.com. Scott Lauber, also follow him on Twitter at Scott Lauber. Scott, thanks so much for coming back on Hittin' Season. Again, I really appreciate it.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All right, before we get out of here, your stat of the week, and it's a Real Muto stat, of course. Since 2016, Real Muto ranks first among catchers in hits with 434, first in runs with 202, first in doubles with 92, and first in total bases with 689. And folks, that will do it for episode number 256, an emergency edition of the Hittin' Season podcast. Again, folks, please subscribe to the Good Fight podcast feed so you get Hittin' Season, continued success, the dirty inning every time there's a new episode. And please do me this favor. If you know other Phillies fans who are looking for a good podcast, or you know Phillies fans, maybe they don't know anything about podcasts, grab their phone, show them how podcasts work, and have them subscribe to the Good Fight podcast feed so they can catch this podcast, Hittin' Season, as well as continued success and the dirty inning every time a new one is up. And continued success with Justin and Liz. We'll be talking about Real Muto here this week as well. And of course, I'll be joined by Justin and Liz on Sunday night as we continue to hope maybe we'll even have some other new players to talk about by that time. Cross my fingers. I'm not getting my hopes up. But again, subscribe, rate, review the Good Fight podcast feed. That would help us out in a big way. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you all next time right here on Hittin' Season.